Hello, everyone. Welcome to Prusa Live 43. I'm Matt Stoltz, and with me, as always, is Joseph Prusa and Nicholas.
Hello.
We've got a great show for you guys today. We have a couple members of the Maker Deck team with us to talk about what exactly is Maker Deck. And we've got lots of great news, as normal. So let's kick off the show and get things started. Who wants to go first on Printables Pick?
Joe has the coolest print. He can go first.
Joe has the coolest print. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Nicholas helped me print
a little bit. It's a million
some parts. This is the capsule hotel from Tokyo from Leslie. And
nice.
I love Tokyo and I miss it so much. And Japan in total.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
That is great.
So many little capsules.
Yes.
Are they each individually printed or is it like layers and you stack them up?
Yeah, but it's really hard to remove them. But
yeah, I don't want to break it.
Don't break it.
Yeah, but each and every one of them is removable.
Very cool. What do you have, Mickey?
I have another thing from Printables, as one would imagine.
I mean, I would hope you have something from Printables.
Yeah, well, I'm just going to pull something from Fingiverse right here.
I have a kind of dumb spatula that's printed from plastic, which doesn't make much sense, but it's actually great for the skirt because sometimes it gets under my nail, and I hate when that happens.
Oh yeah, well
if you need to scrape your windows here when fall comes and the frost gets on there, you're all set.
And with the new leveling we have with the load cell on the XL. You know, I don't play with skirts anymore, because I hate when you know I never have tools with me, so I just like try to do this and I put grease on the bat and then you have to go
clean it.
Fetch the cleaning solution.
Yeah,
they can get annoying. Okay, so I have the Abraham Lincoln bobblehead from 3D printing.
What?
Yeah. Okay. So he's released a series of bobbleheads. This one I printed in the Prusament marble for that.
You can print bobbleheads?
So he's done a really good system, and I glued this so I won't break it. But he has a 3D printed spring. It's the base, a 3D printed spring, and then the
that is so nice.
The
because
head.
I was thinking like no, but I mean I would print this, but I really don't want to fetch a specialized spring.
Right, exactly. You don't want to go after the spring, but he designed the spring for them, and he makes it so you can put magnets in the bottom, with the idea that you would set this on your extruder motor. Like on your Mark III, and as your Mark III moves around, the bobblehead does its thing. So this is the Abraham Lincoln. He has a whole series of other ones. I definitely think we need a Joseph Prusa bobblehead.
I think we need a bobblehead competition.
Yeah, it would be fun.
That sounds like a very good idea. We might have to do that here.
Where we first release the mechanism with like a blank face. And let people sculpt or model on top of it.
I think the easiest thing to do is just to release the the negative of the hole. So you put whatever you want, chop whatever you want, sculpt whatever you want, and then subtract
maybe that would prevent people from going all crazy and making like bubble appendages.
That's true.
We've had guest judges before. We have a guest judge on the current battery box. Maybe I will talk to 3D printing, talk to Joe, and see if he wants to come in on a bobblehead competition. That sounds like a great idea.
Deal.
So if you're watching, Joe, let us know if you're down. Okay. So yeah, bunch of fun ones there. But let's go on with news. You guys seem to be intently looking at the comments.
So much stuff is happening. Oh.
Yes. Yes.
One of them.
Filament Stories definitely says Joseph Bobblehead. Joseph Prusa Bobblehead, yes. So we can definitely make that happen. All right. So speaking of contests, both the camera contest, which has been our long-running contest, and the battery box contest end on Sunday. So two contests ending on Sunday.
About
so,
to end, yes.
Yeah. So get those entries in. We've got a lot of great entries already on both, but there's still plenty of time to get in some other cool things.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I've been loving some of the things coming in on the camera contest.
Yeah, the camera contest is what I have my focus on.
You know what I need? I know it's hardly 3D printable, but you know it would be cool if we could print a box for the lipos from drone racing. You know, so you can safely store all the little bit puffed out. So you.
I don't really think you should be storing the ones right. that are a little bit puffed out, but
right. And yeah, and putting them in a plastic box is probably not the best solution there.
I agree.
Unless it's printed from something that can survive a really high temperature. I'm not suggesting anything, but if
I mean that's really high temperature. Now you've got molten plastic involved, so yes.
But I would say some of the lipo safety bags I got. I highly doubt that.
Yeah,
they would survive.
Same,
that.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
So I'm just putting a note to get a proper battery storage.
Yeah. you need to buy one of those ammo boxes. They sell it for storage of ammo, but they're actually great for lipo storage.
Okay.
Yeah, find any kind of Army Navy surplus store.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
You actually have an Army Navy surplus store just up the street from. Where we were in the hotel last time I was in Prague.
And unfortunately I didn't even have a chance to drone this year.
Me neither.
Poor batteries.
Yeah. Anyway, get us back on track.
Yes, back on track. Prusa Slicer Alpha, Prusa Slicer 2.5 Alpha 3 is out. It's been out for a couple days, but you guys You guys have been testing the crap out of those alphas, and we really appreciate it, giving us lots of great feedback.
Yeah. No worries testing it, because our alphas are usually super stable.
And they are in separate folder from the stable version, so you can test it.
That is a good point, even though it's in every release notes. You can have both running, and they use different settings folder. There is no risk of damaging anything.
That's right.
Right. Yeah, if you're in a production mode or anything else, you don't have to worry about like testing the alpha and screwing up your production systems.
Okay, I'm ready for the next topic, I think.
You have been ready. You're like chomping at the bit.
Mickey is very excited.
I'm very excited.
I mean, I sent out a tweet and just kind of teased it. Like Mickey, like full on out, like was like, new material!
That's right.
So, the Prismic guys have been working. We have been excited to release this. And what do we have?
It's nylon. I mean, oh my god, they will kill me, the guys from Prusa Polymers. It's polyamide. That's what it is. It's
carbon filled. And again, super, super nice.
High temp, super chemically resistant. And the spools are different color.
And guess why?
Because to dry it...
they can't really answer.
To dry it, we need to go to such high temperature that the plastic expands at such high rate compared to the cardboard that the spool simply falls apart. So this one is glued together. And to differentiate between them in production, they are in different color.
Very nice. So for, as Mickey mentioned, if you haven't used nylon before, it has great chemical resistance, super heat resistance. It's normally very flexible, though. So the addition of the carbon fiber in it helps stiffen everything up.
And it is very, very difficult to print without...
One of the downsides always has been is how difficult it is to get nylon to stick to bed surfaces and get quality prints, because nylon doesn't really like to stick to much. So, to go with that, what do we got, Mickey?
New sheet! It's a brand new sheet for polyamides. It's not great for, you know, your standard PLA, PG, and that stuff, but for polyamides, for nylons, it's fantastic. There's big red, do not clean with IPA, because if you clean it with IPA, you will damage the sheet.
The special coating. And it is not like the Garolite or anything.
No.
It is coated like our normal coated satin sheets.
Yeah. We will talk a lot more about our new Prusament PA11 in the next stream. I think we might even have Adam from Prusa Polymers as a guest, and he will tell us everything about it. So I don't want to go too much more in depth. One thing that's, you know, just I have it in here. It's very low friction. It's hard to... It doesn't go across on the camera, on the stream, I guess, but it's very smooth when there's a moving part of you know, polyamide to polyamide.
There are no bearings.
Yeah, it's very smooth.
But also, you know, as everything with carbon fiber, it looks so good.
Yeah.
Right.
So, we will be releasing it before this stream and the next one, and on the next stream, I think we can talk about it some more.
Yes.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Holy shit.
Printables hit a big new milestone just recently. So,
yes.
200,000 models on printables. And what I really found impressive about this is that it has doubled in the past 6 months. So 6 months ago we had 100,000, and now we're already up to 200,000. And that's all thanks to you guys. We really appreciate all the hard work that you all do, you know, uploading these incredible creations.
Like 2 months ago, we were hitting 150K, and we were like discussing here in the team, like, should we, like, you know, celebrate it a little bit? We were like, well, if we wait like a month or two, we will have 200K. So, so it is kind of insane.
Yeah. And the
crazy thing is like at the rate, it's like, you know, we could be you know, celebrating 500,000, you know, in just a couple months. So.
Yeah, I think so. But also what I am the most proud of, I just open it up. You know, it doesn't seem like it's filled with the crappy models.
Right. Yeah.
So all the models are high quality, and we need to thank you guys, the community, for providing the site and others with all the amazing models.
Yeah, it is very nice to get things. Somebody's asking what was the 200,000th item. We should figure that out. So
actually there are like 250,000 models, but 50,000 of them are not published.
Right.
There are some drafts or some leftovers, so the IDs do not match exactly.
Yeah,
good point.
Yeah, how does it print without enclosure? We will talk about all the nylon
time,
but next you time. Yeah, you are on the right track. Enclosure does help.
For sure. Okay. Also, another new update, something that, like, you know, so I make the little scripts of, like, how the whole show's going to go, and it, between last night and, you know, writing it and today, new news.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm just seeing the release notes.
So long.
Yes. So you guys have been asking. Mini Wi-Fi firmware.
It's a beta. It's the first release.
Yeah, and I would say it is a new networking and Wi-Fi update, because you know a lot of the features can now be used over the Ethernet, and the Wi-Fi is there too.
The release notes are crazy long. I especially like the brief history of development, which kind of very. This is the brief version. You should have seen this before we edited it. It was so long.
I mean, honestly, this is one of the most surprising projects in a way, that how a minefield it was, because we had to write our own HTTP server. We had to do the TLS. We had to do.
ST changed the part of the USB stack for us because...
Well, not for us, because it was crappy.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, we brought up the problem. They changed it for all the customers, but we were the ones that really brought it to light.
I want to highlight that there are two BFF files, and you should put both on the USB flash drive, because first it will do like one flash, one update, and it will also update the bootloader, and then the second one will do the full upgrade, and then if you plug in the ESP8266, it will also flash, then later on it will tell you that it will update the firmware on that, so it will flash our own. We wrote an entire firmware for the ESP8266 as well. It will flash that, and then it will guide you through creating the file with the credentials for the Wi-Fi.
There is a question when you can upload the files. You can now.
Yeah.
You can now.
Now. If you use this firmware, it's a beta, but
yeah, there is a lot of optimization on the way.
Yeah.
So we ask you to provide us as much feedback as you can, because the Wi-Fi networks and all this network gear is different everywhere, and all the flash drives are different, you know. So we try to make the compatibility as best as possible.
Thank you for that note, Chris. That is definitely true. It is beta, and bug reports definitely help.
David, I believe the firmware team lead is watching. I think we will go back to this in Q&A. If you have any questions about this, feel free to ask. You do need the ESP8266. You plug it in, you put both files on the USB flash drive.
These are available everywhere compared to Raspberry Pis or anything. Right. Anything other, so.
And it will.
So it's just one of these tiny, tiny little modules with the 8-pin header off the bottom.
It will create a Sprucia link is running on the ESP8266, so that's like your local web server. So if you're on the same Wi-Fi, you can connect to it, and you will see website and everything that you can use.
Yeah.
Or you can just put the info, your API key and the IP address into Prusa Slicer and just hit the button, and Prusa Slicer will send the G-code there. The Prusa Connect integration is coming a little bit later down the road.
Yeah. When this is polished, we have the Connect running in-house now, but it will be out after this is done. And you will be able to monitor the prints from anywhere.
Yeah, and if you're not familiar, Connect is... There you will see, like, if you have multiple printers, you will see all your printers and the status of them, and you can send files to each and one of them and stuff like that. It's quite nice.
Oh, Martin Walker, you can still use Ethernet.
Yeah. Yeah, and even the Ethernet should now be faster because of the rewritten USB thing.
Yeah. But, as I said, read the release notes. I know it's a long read, but every word is interesting, and we will be optimizing this in the future.
Yes.
Wonderful.
And I'm tweeting it
now.
Let the storm begin.
Yes. enclosure updates. For all of you that pre-ordered the enclosure and you are waiting to get your enclosures, great news. They are going to start shipping next week.
Yes. Yeah.
So the one... Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, and as I tweeted today, some of the parts for the add-ons are arriving later than was promised. So we are splitting the orders which had the add-ons, and we will be shipping just the add-ons later at our cost.
Yeah, so you will get the enclosure now. You can build it, you can use it, and then later on you will get the LEDs or the filtration system and all the add-ons that are available.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Wow.
We have so many new.
Yeah. I'm surprised we are still kind of on time.
Yeah. We're doing good. We actually we have a couple minutes, so we're actually a little ahead of schedule. So but it's just kind of funny because, like, I started putting this entire thing together. I was like, man, this is gonna be a slow news week. Like, there's not really that much, and then, like, just one thing after another, like, as I was starting to put it together, just, you know, all came out.
There's one question about the webcam support. Well, we found an easy way how to add webcam support, which is actually available compared to, you know, the modules for Raspberries and everything. And we will let you know more probably in the next stream.
All right.
Nice. Fantastic. I look forward to even hearing that myself. All right, so we have a couple great guests with us today. We have Chris Perillo and Sith Lord. I think before
we should mention one more thing. The Excel update is coming next week, hopefully.
Fantastic.
Should I like? I'm gonna screw up the thingy thing. I will. Let's do like a little punk punk thing on the stream.
Oh my god!
That we don't normally do. But
oh,
yeah. There is an paused Excel.
Uh oh! No signal.
No signal?
Oh.
Oh, it's back.
Yeah. Working? Yeah.
Behind
there
the scenes.
Post Excel doing a multicolored print right here, but yeah, it's making too much noise. Oh, now the microphone is probably weird. So yeah, it's right here next to us.
What are you doing?
Yeah, I'm just...
Come back.
I'm back.
Everyone just gets too excited about the Excel, so couldn't help himself.
Yeah.
All right. Can I bring our guests in now?
Have you two
had your fun?
Yeah.
All right. So we have Chris Perillo and Sith Lord Britt of the Maker Deck team coming to join us to tell us all about this fun little Twitch community that these guys have helped create. So there's Britt.
Hi.
Hi there.
Chris, your camera's off.
It should not be.
Well,
it should not be at all.
Lower left-hand corner, start video, maybe. There you go.
What do you know?
Yeah.
I swear I didn't touch any... I did not move my camera, unlike some people who shall remain nameless.
Yes. Zoom does as Zoom does sometimes. Yeah. So, yeah. We're all good now. Guess who forgot to mute his phone. Sith Lord Britt and Chris Perillo, two of the members of the Maker Deck community. So Chris, why don't you tell us, because we've had people ask, what exactly is Maker Deck? Like, what is this thing?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. It's quite simply, it's a virtual makerspace. That's it. I mean, that's as complex as it gets in terms of what it is. It's a Twitch channel that runs 24/7, and it came about from idea to launch within just a few days, right? You know, the idea of bringing multiple makers together in the same stream and having them just make together, and concentrating and focusing on what people were doing, not necessarily, you know, having it personality driven. This is very much, you know, not typical, very atypical for a live stream. You know, there are people who do live stream their own printers to keep an eye on them, but when that happens, there's not a feeling of connection that comes with it. But when you bring multiple people together, and right now we're limited by the platform we're using, up to 10 people at a time can be making on the screen. Mm-hmm. And you know, I don't know if you've got the link in the video description. It's a Twitch channel, Maker Deck, one word, intercapped. It's 24/7, so it's very hands on. There's Liz. Liz and I have worked off and on over the years, and usually I float my silly ideas past her, and I said, and I went to the moderators for my Twitch channel. I said, hey, I've got an idea. What about us, you know, or launching this thing where multiple people can be streaming at the same time their makes? Like, because I'm 3D printing, other people are 3D printing and making, not just 3D printing. Lego brick building, you know, weaving, you know, resin casting, painting, you know, building miniatures. So the initial feedback was not negative. I don't know if everyone could really wrap their head around the concept, but there was really no pushback. And I, you know, kind of ideated, or I think this is how it could work. And we tested it on YouTube, but ultimately believed that the best platform for it was Twitch. And the reason why is because Twitch is known for live video, and this is a live 24/7 makerspace and what a virtual makerspace. What's been interesting is everything that's come out of this. You know, teachers, educators, when school was in session, some of them would actually have the MakerDeck feed on mute, you know, because we just play, you know, typically like just background music, you know, something to listen to. They'd pull it up in their classrooms for inspiration, and students would draw inspiration from this. and that was something that we didn't necessarily set out to do. We just wanted to try to bring people together that way, and that's exactly what it is. It's not so much a community itself. It's a part of the greater community. And I say that specifically because, you know, we all bring, community lives in our hearts, right? We bring that with us. And there's no one person that makes this work. This is a group effort. No one personality, no one person, no one type of anything. And that's the beauty of it. You know, people come in, either they're curious, they've never seen something like it before, they always wanted to be, you know, someone who 3D printed, so they've got questions, maybe they've had problems, so they come in there, and then chat is very much complementary to what you're seeing on screen. So it is a virtual makerspace that anybody can tune into 24/7, international, and have up on a second screen, a second monitor, a TV,
right,
a tablet screen, and just keep it going, even if they're watching another live video. Because it doesn't demand, you know, total attention, but, you know, it basically captures imagination, inspires, and brings people together in a way that really hadn't happened to this point, at least not to my knowledge.
So Chris, when did you guys get started? When did MakerDeck first launch?
A little over 3 months ago.
Okay.
And it's, I gotta say, when you do something new with content, you never know what, you know, if people are going to like it or not. And that's, yeah, it's a risk, but it's a low risk, right? So, you know, we mitigated all those risks, and within 3 months' time, we just passed last week 2,000 followers on Twitch, and we're about 3 or 4 people shy from 2,100. So, you know, what that tells me is that we've captured, you know, attention. And to me, that number's not important because it's a number. It's important because it tells me we're making connections, and right, it resonates. And I've always been a big believer in building relationships.
So that's how many subscribers you have. How many streamers, how many members are actually regularly participating in streaming on the channel?
Sure, and that's also a great metric. You know, we've got, I think, over 175 at this point. And I've been very active in social. Other people who've been working within the MakerDeck team have been active in social, but we are meeting people we otherwise never would have met. And some people just, they see the stream for the first time, 5 minutes later, they fill out the form, and they're actually streaming in MakerDeck. They're anybody, you know, there's a very low barrier to entry. Anybody, you got a camera, you got a web browser, you can stream into MakerDeck. And so 175 people out of the blue, most people I didn't know, Britt didn't know, Liz, anybody who's been a part of the team, none of us knew. But again, because the organic discovery of this happening on Twitch, you know, imagine tuning into a TV channel that, oh, it's just nothing but...
Yeah, we do have, like, slow TV, or what was it? It was something, yeah, something,
yeah,
like
slow,
that.
Slow TV is very similar to this, too. And so that discussion of, like, anyone can tune in and anyone can join is a good kind of, like, segue into Britt. How did you first find out about MakerDeck, and how long have you been participating in the streams?
Well, I guess Chris and I have been friends since before MakerDeck occurred.
Okay.
We actually met on Twitch. We were fellow streamers, and he happened upon my stream. I was making some of my cosplay things. I'm a cosplayer, maker, crafter, Twitch streamer. And he happened upon my stream because I was making a Star Wars cosplay. So you guys know Chris Perillo heard that and was like, Star Wars something? Let's go that way. So we met and became friends, joined his stream team that he had at that time. And we were already part of, again, that greater 3D printing community. And I remember being there when he was bouncing those ideas off of everyone in the community. And when everyone was like, absolutely, we're all in on that. He established, like you said, within days, a week of having that idea, he had it up and running. And we're like, we're there. Tell us what you need, what you want. And we were all there to support each other. And even on the first week, I think the numbers were greater than my channel. People were so excited to be there and so excited to see each other's prints. And I was like, don't make that face, Chris. It's okay.
Well, I have a very specific brand.
It's okay.
It's not personal. It's complimentary. It's complimentary.
It's great.
Sorry,
to see. Yeah. I'm very niche. No, it's okay. I understand. I'm very niche, but you know, the 3D printing is much broader. I would expect more people, you know, to be interested and show up. And you have friends in there. You see their prints. You're emotionally invested in their prints. You want to see it succeed. If you have a fail, we're all kind of there to be with you to be like, oh, nuts. That's okay. Try it again. And it was great seeing it from literally just being an idea that Chris had for the community to having the community actively participating in it. So yeah. I've been there since, I guess, the beginning. That's my long answer.
Nice. Which speaking of very niche, it is worth noting that even though Chris kind of did found this and everything else, people on MakerDeck are allowed to create things other than Star Wars things, correct?
Sometimes, like...
You have your quota. You have to fill that quota, and then you can print other things.
Yes, with prior authorization from the team, we'll allow it. Correct.
Fantastic.
How can we participate? How can we join?
Right.
Oh, it's easy. Just head over to Twitch. Here, scan my shirt.
I mean, people. Perfect.
It takes you right there. There may be a link in the video description. You click over.
I mean, people have been asking for a farm printer to be like online all the time on video.
Yeah,
like, what if we just had a farm printer right on MakerDeck?
Why not? Why not? We've had someone, a woodworker, building an arcade cabinet. Seen that printers, weavers. I mean, if you're making, just the act of making and losing yourself in making. This is where Britt was, you know, and I kind of made the face. This is a different type of channel. Instead of focusing on sometimes making and then interacting with the audience, which is what Britt does in her channels, what I do on my personal channels, what we're doing now, right here, live. Instead of focusing on the interaction and the making, the maker, all they have to do is just focus on the making. And all the audience has to do is just focus on the making. And so we take away all these layers of live that are normally, you know, placed upon us when we do these live streams and just focus again on that, just the enjoyment of watching, of doing, of learning, of being inspired. So it's easy. Head over there, follow MakerDeck. Its follows are free on Twitch. It may be confusing, but don't worry. It's a very non-Twitch type of Twitch channel. There's not a lot of flashy, wacky things that happen. It's easy to do. And you type in bang join !! Links you off to the form. You submit it, you read kind of the guidelines, like don't be someone that you shouldn't be if you're on the internet. You gotta be nice to other people. That's basically the bottom line. Follow some guidelines because we wanna try to create a clean experience for everybody. And generally speaking, we've had, you know, maybe a couple of hiccups, but by and large, it's been smooth sailing. Everyone has been patient. It doesn't take that much explanation. Like if you look at this, you get it. Like, oh, so it's this. Yes, it's a virtual makerspace. It's always open. It's easy to join. Anybody can do it. Everybody from the very beginning, this has been an open invitation. This like it's.
And so, it's so, Britt, do you kind of when you're working on a cosplay, do you stream printing for that cosplay there? I can imagine like following your build or something, and then people could check out there that you're printing another part for your next cosplay.
I do. If there's a time that, you know, I might have to step away for a moment because I have a family, like a lot of us, and I might have to tend to something. And I can't give my full attention quite like I would if I was streaming live on Twitch. For those who have streamed live, you know, you have to be very interactive. You're paying attention to 4, 5, 6, 7 things at once. And it's really hard to concentrate as a maker on one thing in front of you, and you're trying to do it really well. When you are interacting with a lot of other things, you're essentially splitting up your attention, and you want to give your craft your full attention. So being on MakerDeck allows me, it frees up my hands basically to give my craft all the attention that it deserves while also, when I take a break, I lean over, see if anyone had any questions, interact with chat, get some water, come back, and continue on. So if people want to keep up with what I'm doing, they can, you know, check up with me on my channel, ask the questions, because I'm there much more interactive. But if I would like to set something on the printer and go, I can do that into Maker Deck and basically work on my cosplay nonstop.
Nice.
Fantastic. Chris touched on it a little bit, but I do think it's interesting to see, you know, kind of it grow where it's not just a screen of 3D printers, but having people working on, you know, other bits of projects, like, you know, as you're working on your cosplay and things like that, seeing like the things that you're doing besides just the printers running. And you know, it'll be great to see that side of Maker Deck kind of, you know, increase, where there's more than just staring at a sea of printers.
Well, that's the thing, is all it takes is participation. All someone has to be is just willing to try something, and we're absolutely open to it. You know, as long as there's space, because we can only accommodate 10 people at a time, we rotate. It's very manual. There is nothing automated about Maker Deck. Nothing. Yeah. It's always a human being. It's either myself, it's Pez Liz, Kieran Clark, Pink 3DP. You know, there's someone watching. There's someone who is there. This is not an unattended stream. It's very human driven.
Always. There's always a live body there. Always. Yeah.
Do you guys take shifts of deciding who will be on this? Okay.
Yes, so, yeah, very much so.
Collectively taking care of your baby a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's been yarn crafters. Fun. We paint. We'll paint the 3D prints, like, because most people who 3D print also do something else, post-processing in some way to their 3D prints.
Someone says
creators. Like, well, Wexter designed one of his Vecnas, I think his mini dude, he designed it like live. 3D printing professor yesterday was doing up a CAD design for one of his Printablock series, I think the one that's currently being crowdfunded. So people have used design software alongside people who are actually making the things that had been previously designed in software. So, you know, our limitation is our imagination. And you know, as long as it adheres to that ethos of making and reveling in that the process of it, you know, it's all relevant.
Someone in the chat says that you guys are the Twitch stream is a free spaghetti detective.
We've got a spaghetti emote.
Can we get RC Maniac 25 some prushometers?
Yeah,
that was the best joke. Of, yeah,
you should make like a command where you know the streams where people would play Pokemon by spamming the next command, like printer 4 failing, like push a pause print to Octoprint or something.
Yeah, we've been known to ping people on Twitter if they've stepped away. We'll find you on Twitter. We'll find you on Discord. Someone has you in text.
Well, and that's
which is great.
We use,
it's
knock,
really
knock,
great.
Knock.
We use Discord specifically. Discord is used to do just that. Like, we have a backstage for the people who are making. Every night, the people who are making things, every night in my personal Twitch stream, I feature the makes of the day, not just for Maker Deck, but the people, the makers in the community. Every day I scroll through Discord saying, oh, so-and-so did such and such. And then I browse through our the Maker Deck Twitter feed of the things that were made and where we got, you know, people tagged the Maker Deck account at Maker Deck. And so we actually, it goes beyond Maker Deck, not just this Twitch channel. It's going well beyond just the Twitch channel to make those connections and generally have fun, because if you can't have fun with it, what's the point?
I think we've created the new thing, though, that the IoT Discord bot that, you know, if you have a print going bad, someone can send a message to you and it makes like lights flash inside your house in case you're not paying attention to your printer.
That could happen. You know, that could happen. By the way, I have to thank you for bringing me on this journey. Had you not, you know, taken that leap of faith with me, I would not have my mini. And it has been an amazing part of my life. It's you, I would say, have helped inspire what Maker Deck is. if I had not made those connections with you through an old friend, Joel Telling, who I've known since long before anybody knew him as the 3D printing nerd.
You've heard of that guy.
Just maybe, yeah, once or twice, maybe. He gets around. Yeah, he...
I've heard he likes rum.
A bit. He likes giving away all sorts of stuff. He made a video on his channel a long time ago modeling one of my old logos. I was fascinated by 3D printing and I was interested in it, but I thought, well, how complicated is it? How accessible is it? I'm not a hardware guy. I mean, I know how to do this kind of thing, but it's not my jam. Even now, I love what I'm able to do, but I'm interested in all the filament colors and in all the models. Yes, the Star Wars models, like 3D printing's baubles. I have one right on hand. We met 3D printing through Maker Deck, and he was giving, you know, he knows I love Star Wars, so of course I had to print his RTP, then he made more. So I way ahead of you.
I see.
It's a good thing. So I have to thank you. Now that I have everyone's ear, I have to thank you for helping me on my journey and helping the journey of MakerDeck, yeah. even maybe not as directly as you'd think.
Yeah, I think Joel, I'm pretty sure it was Joel who reached out to me and said, hey, like, you might be interested in getting this guy a printer and helping out. And, you know, I was very familiar with you, Chris, from Tech TV days, way back when. So, yes. So it made sense.
Well, I'm very careful about the decisions I make in relation to an opportunity like that. I'm not a big believer in surrounding myself with things that I don't have an emotional connection to, quite honestly. One of the reasons that, yes, I do print Star Wars things, a lot of Star Wars things. I'm surrounded by them. I don't have a favorite. I really don't, because so many of them are just so much fun. I could never have imagined, like, you know, being able to make these models that otherwise would never exist apart from in someone's imagination, and then to push out the plastic and extrude this wonderful thing. I still get thrilled when I have this object printed, or just watching that object be printed, or seeing something else that I could do. I'm very intentional about what it is that I have. I'm more of a collector. You know, I have an emotional connection with the things that I make. I don't want to make something that doesn't have a reason, me personally, have a reason to be made, whether I'm making it for someone else, whether I'm, you know, making it for, you know, myself. You know, there's just got to be a connection to it. I'm not just doing it because I can do it. Right. I do it because there's a reason, there's a connection.
Right. So we have a couple minutes left with you guys. So I have kind of the big question there, which is, you know, where would you like to see MakerDeck go in, say, like, the next year? Like, what are your goals? What are you hoping for?
Well, I think this is a hard that, one. No, it's not. We have thought about this extensively, and I think finding more makers, obviously. Being able to introduce more programmatic content, since this is a 24/7 stream, enabling educators, tying into STEM, and enabling not just bringing in makers and finding makers and finding more people to watch the makers, but also enabling and empowering them. Do we know how yet? No, but that is a goal, to enable and empower those makers who are participating directly in the stream. Well, you know, maybe there's new filament coming out. Maybe there's a new product coming out. Maybe there's something here. You know, I don't know what that is. Or, you know, running in alignment with, you know, let's say the printables contests, right? It's printables, not printables. Like, is it French? I don't know. I know it's printables. I'm being facetious. But to better engage, you know, with the greater community. We are sponsoring IRF. You know, giving back to the community in that way. So we're looking to give back to the greater maker community. There's also an extreme possibility of doing a MakerDeck IRL in real life, an actual event complementary to the other community-driven events within the makerspace. And I've had a couple of discussions here with folks I know in Seattle. I'm based in Seattle. So to do an event or enable meetups, you know, to better be able to interconnect, you know, to take this virtual maker space, you know, out of the virtual space and into the physical space, I think is a very, very, it's an attainable goal. We have people on the MakerDeck team have produced events together in the past. Liz and I have worked together in the past on various events. The events I've produced go back decades. But you know, just knowing that what we have here is it works really well. We want to make sure that it grows organically because it's important. It only works when other makers feel that sense of belonging and are able to take that spirit of community that they have in them already and come to a new space and come together and meet new people that otherwise wouldn't have met. Because Twitch's biggest shortcoming, and YouTube kind of the same way, Twitch's biggest shortcoming is discovery. How do you get discovered? How do you meet other people?
Yeah.
It's impossible. MakerDeck has broken through that ceiling because of what we're doing and how we're doing it. So I want to be able to help steer that. And I know the rest of the team always has that in mind as well. I mean, it's not run by me. I may be spearheading this project, but it's very much, operated by the sensibilities of several individuals who are very key, Britt being one of them, Pezliv certainly, absolutely being another, Krusty being, you know, an amazing guide to this. And Krusty, Practical Printing, I think y'all know Krusty. He was also very helpful in onboarding me into the 3D printing experience. But making sure that grows and that flowers, that blossoms as organically as it has been even in the beginning.
Fantastic.
That's the short answer. Britt may have different ideas of what she's
short
like.
Short answer?
Britt just wants to get a word in edgewise in the next year. That's
I was able to put in like two words in this. Yeah.
That's awesome. I was going to say, this is just what I want to mention about it, because I hear this question come up a lot. People are just like, why? Like, why stream into MakerDeck? And I think some people forget, not everyone is really built for Twitch. Not everyone wants to be a Twitch streamer or a YouTuber. Not everyone's into that, but still there's a lot of creatives who want to express themselves and want to share that with the community. So this gives people that outlet, but they don't have to put their face, you know, on Twitch. They don't have to broadcast themselves because not everyone's into that. Chris and I can't relate, but some people are not into that, into putting everything out there and laughing at themselves and, you know, literally down for whomever pops into chat and having a conversation with them. And that's okay. But still, some people want to give to the community and partake. And this gives people a safe outlet to do that. We get to know people. We get to know their style. We get to know their filament choices, their print choices. And they feel like they belong without having to invest in all the equipment and the time and energy that goes into starting a Twitch channel necessarily or any live stream. So that's what I love about it. And I see that question come up often. And that's just something that I like to share about MakerDeck. I think that's the best part. And it has so much potential to grow. Specifically, what I love is in the area of education, because kids are the future. And so to get them involved in something so cool so early. And as a creative, I run into Roblox all the time. I get creative blocks all the time. And I'm just like, I need to surround myself with other people that are interesting, that are lively, that have the same interests and can inspire something in me. So having a group of people literally 24/7 always there on Twitch has been a tremendous help for me. So I foresee that growing, but specifically it excites me to see it growing in the area of education. Yeah, and I want to know what Joseph is going to stream into MakerDeck one day. I'm curious what filament he's going to use. I guess Courtney probably wants to know too, what filament colors and what prints are you gonna stream into MakerDeck? What helmets are you printing?
What I'm printing?
Cosplays, yeah.
Oh, cosplays.
What armors? Frillo heads? Frillo teams?
What?
Well, we do have
no.
We have a full Iron Man suit, but yes. I don't know if you fit
really
in
hasn't
there.
Thought about
I don't.
It.
I don't think I would fit in that costume, and probably most likely after 2 years, if I would be printing something which requires a couple months, at the end I wouldn't fit in it.
Yeah, it's been really great how like these virtual communities have been able to kind of step in, especially over the past couple of years, when you know the ability to really do things in person has been so hindered. And so, you know, it's really great to see what you guys have built, and we look forward to seeing how it continues to grow. For right now, that's unfortunately our time with you guys. We've got it.
We're back.
Yeah, you're back.
Yeah, the timing on this was pretty perfect. We were just saying our goodbyes, and the stream decided to leave as well.
All right, guys. Again, thank you for coming, and we will talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you so
much. Oh. She was talking. That was great. Those guys are fantastic.
Yeah.
All right. So every show, we give you guys an opportunity to win some Prusament with the Prusa Live Show Us Your Prints competition. And it's time to announce this month's winners of the competition. So while Mickey pulls that up, yes. So all we ask is, first of all, don't talk about the Prusa Live competition. This is only for those of you guys that actually watch the show. And all you have to do is take any print that you have printing on your bed, you know, maybe something that you're streaming on MakerDeck. And, you know, when it's finished, take a picture of it on your print bed or beside your printer, and post that up to Twitter with the hashtag #PoundPrusaLive. And we will pick some of you guys to get some Prusament. So who do we have in third place this time, Mickey?
Third place is Phantom Printer with his Voltron model.
That is very nice.
It's kind of huge. Yeah.
Yeah. I love it standing on the mini so you can see like how much bigger it is than the actual mini. So.
Yeah. Awesome.
Also showing, you know, how capable the mini is to make not such mini things.
Is this foldable?
I mean, it's
I'm sure Shane can tell you all about this model. So.
Yeah, it definitely moves. It has a little hinges.
I think so.
Yeah. Nice. So. Yeah. Nice work, Phantom Printer. So, you're number 3. Moving on to our runner up. Which is Ozzy the Artist with his, oh my god, it's a ghost chip and all-in-one dice tower. It's kind of insane, but yeah.
It is so fantastic with those, like, you know, Kraken tentacles reaching up over it. And this looks to me like it's in Mystic Green. It's hard to tell, but it seems to be.
It looks like it, yeah.
Yeah, there might be some dry brushing on there, too. It's hard to necessarily tell. But such a cool model. Yeah,
it looks wonderful.
And this one he posted, like, just hours after our show last month. And so, like I'm scrolling through, and normally, looking at all the entries.
I'm wondering if people are thinking, what is the best strategy to post it, you know, just when it starts? So you scare people off?
Yeah.
Or one of the last, so...
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't think that either of those would work as a strategy, because we kind of go through just before the show and look through everything. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
All right, moving on to our first place.
If any of you have been following the internet the past couple days, this first place probably, like, yeah.
Not a huge surprise, but yeah.
Not a huge surprise.
Congratulations.
It's Neil with this.
531 likes, 20 quote tweets, and 99 retweets on this. Like, this has just been blowing up the 3D printing space, and for good reason, so.
Ghost in the Shell, Tachikuma.
I love this.
Yeah. Mini. It's great.
So this is his second mini mod, in that he did his Prusamate mini, and now, you know, doing this one. It's just fantastic.
Yeah.
Especially for Ghost in the Shell fans.
Yeah, and I think what is wonderful, I don't think this mod affects the performance at all.
No. Yeah. No. That's Neil has been very, very, like, key to make sure that, like, the printer itself, the base of the printer, really stays the same, so that, you know, you continue getting the same performance that you expect out of your mini.
So, Mikolas, I wonder what one day when we get a printer for servicing, and it would look
like this,
something like this. Right. What would the guys at the service department say? Hmm? What?
Probably the whole department would gather around the table, and they would all be.
I would say whole company.
Yeah, probably the whole company.
Joe, come look.
Yeah. All right. So, congrats to the winners.
Yes. If you're one of the winners, send me a DM over Twitter, and we'll work out getting you your prizes. So.
And now we have some time for the Q&A. I guess we don't have much. We can go a little bit over if there's a lot of questions.
Yeah, we got 5 minutes or so.
Yeah.
So I will start. I saw someone who had... when updating the firmware, that they had messages that it failed.
Yeah.
So I would make sure in the release notes, some of the very early units, they had a different type of flash, and those will be supported in the next release.
Oh, okay.
So check if it's not one of the first minis. Then you can always try to reflash it. You can also try...
Yeah, put the files again on the USB drive.
Yes, and remove safely.
Yeah.
And all this kind of stuff. And in the worst case, you should be able to downgrade it.
Yeah. It should not be able to break the printer. There's like almost nearly zero chance. So,
yeah.
So you should be able to try flash again and all the
stuff. Yeah, we tried to break it, and we were not able to break it on the premises because I was very scared of updating bootloader.
Is the nylon sheet also coming for the mini?
Well, that is interesting question.
Yeah, it is.
I don't think the print temperatures can be supported on the mini.
Because nylon is about as high as the Mark III goes, temperature-wise, on the hot end. Mm. So it's probably a little bit too much for the mini.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it would sustain it for too long.
Yeah.
But, in theory, maybe we can do a nozzle upgrade or something.
Curious if Prusa Link will get webcam support one day.
Yeah, I teased it, but we are not going, the route for now. To try to embed the cameras to the printers. But we will have a little external, which is also easily sourceable.
This is Prusa Slicer 3 supports. That's an evergreen. Yes, the devs have been researching it for quite a while.
And yeah, I think there is something special. I'm not sure if it will be in this version of Slicer. Hmm. But probably right after that.
When will the Prusa enclosure arrive? So we start shipping next week.
Yeah, so I think I've heard by Wednesday.
Yeah, and it will take like, I don't know, two months or something to go through all of the orders.
Yes, I think so. But so we will be posting shipping tables once we start shipping.
So once we start shipping, you will be able to see roughly in what week your order will ship. XLPS PSU. Oh, you have something, Matt?
Will you get the Mark II upgrade kits back? The upgrade kits for, I'm assuming that this is someone asking for upgrading to the 2.5 or up to others. Those have been discontinued
for a long time.
There is a guide online.
Yeah, and I think most of the parts, the special parts you need, like the bed for 12 volts with magnets, I think we should still have it on the website as.
So there is a guide what you should order from our eShop, and we should hopefully still have all the parts.
Yeah, but so. we are quite limited to have like everything packaged and you know, as the sales of this wind down, we just keep the stock of the replacement parts, and you can build it from those.
Will Prusa Mini support
the parts are all there. You just there's just not a single kit. You just have to kit it out yourself.
Will Prusa Mini support Prusa Connect Beta? Basically, the new Wi-Fi, will it be able to connect to Prusa Connect? Yes. Roughly September-ish, not right now. Right now it's the local web server, so if you're in the same network, you can connect to it. But connecting from anywhere and, you know, getting it to Prusa Connect, that will come a little bit later on. There are some questions about the Excel. Joe is finishing work on the article. We are doing some time lapses and printing some big things. So we have some nice pictures and videos. So. Likely next week, but I believe we said it the last time, so We are
post. Go ahead.
We're finishing work on it.
Jose Iglesias.
Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, I mean, lastly, you know, just before the show, when we were speaking about the PA, Martin told me that the next batch incoming quite soon. So, but we still decided to tease it.
Yeah.
Everything is horrible now.
Yeah.
Right. Jose Iglesias asked if we will support the E3D Revo 6 with our machines. It's basically a drop-in replacement for the V6 on the Mark III.
We don't need to support it anyway. Yeah,
exactly. There's nothing that we need to do to support it. E3D has already created all the upgrade guides and everything else. So if it's something that you want to do, just check those out.
Yeah.
All right. Are you going to show one more thing off with that filament?
I'm just, if somebody missed it. New nylon coming out soon.
For all of you that did miss it, because I've seen a lot of things in there. We did talk about the new filament nylon. When the stream's over, in just a second, scroll back to the beginning and check that out.
Yeah, we will be.
All the answers are there.
We'll be talking about the new polyamide brushament more in the next stream.
All right, but that is our stream for this month.
Thank you very much.
Thanks everyone for watching.
Thank you guys. That was a great show. I really enjoyed that. So, thank you guys. Stay safe. Keep printing. We will see you next month. Have a great time. Bye guys.
Bye.